Welcome to this introduction to John Proctor is the Villain, written by Kimberly Bellflower and directed by Dania Taymor. The audio described performance will be on Saturday the 25th of April at 1:30 p.m. with a touch tour at 12 p.m. The performance lasts for approximately 1 hour and 45 minutes without an interval. The introductory notes will start 15 minutes before the performance, which is audio described by Eleanor Margulies and Miranda Yates. The Royal Court's website tells us, "One day, maybe, the new world we were promised will actually be new. Five young women running on pop music, optimism and fury are about to shed light on the darkest secrets in their small town. A story about girlhood, power and questioning the narratives we've been taught. Please note, this production contains flashing lights, strobe lights, a moment of complete blackout and loud music. Sensitive content includes depictions of grooming and abusive relationship dynamics, descriptions of sexual assault, the depiction of a forced kiss, and racist and sexist microaggressions." There's a cast of 9 actors of diverse heritages, 3 men and 6 women. The play features a group of teenagers in their final years of high school in a small town in northeast Georgia in 2018, alongside 2 members of staff. The students wear casual everyday clothing, jeans, trainers, hoodies, graphic t-shirts and sweatshirts, and carry backpacks to and from the classroom. They change clothes frequently between scenes to suggest the passing of time, so we won't describe every outfit here. The style of performance is heightened, with the students sometimes knowingly performing using gestures drawn from TV and social media. Beth is 17 and has pale, lightly freckled skin and shoulder-length wavy auburn hair worn mostly down with the front pinned back or in a ponytail. Although she's the tallest of the girls, Beth's clothes make her look slightly younger than them. At the beginning, she's in blue denim dungarees and a floral long-sleeved top with white Converse trainers. Later, she wears a flared lilac gingham dress with a high-necked white blouse on top. When nervous, Beth self-soothes by fiddling with her necklaces. She wears a small crucifix on a chain, a ring, and a friendship necklace with one half of a heart. The other half is worn by Ivy. Ivy is 17, slender with an athletic build. She has long blonde wavy hair, often held back in a stretchy hairband. Ivy's look is sometimes sporty and sometimes more preppy. She first appears in a pleated grey miniskirt, tight pale green t-shirt, and yellow cardigan. Later, she wears what appears to be expensive athleisure, layers of scooped-neck t-shirts and tight blue leggings. Nell is 16 and has recently joined the school from Atlanta. She's petite with brown skin and a high afro, sometimes held back by a pink headband. She wears straight-leg dark wash blue jeans, a short-sleeved t-shirt and a cropped blue hoodie. Later, Nell appears in a cheerful long-sleeved top of bright stripes. Raylan is 16, gentle and slightly timid in manner. She's from a mixed Asian and European background and has light brown skin and straight brown hair parted in the centre and clipped at the sides to fall to her shoulders. Raylan wears modest knee-length denim skirts and print dresses, white ankle socks and black pumps, teamed with a black hoodie. On her left hand, she wears a purity ring, a sign that she's taken a vow of chastity before marriage. Mason is 17. He has light brown skin and floppy dark brown hair, often peering through his fringe or putting his head sleepily down on the desk. Mason wears a dark green hoodie over a t-shirt and knee-length baggy shorts. Lee is 16 and taller than the girls. His wavy light brown hair is grown out and messy. He's described by the playwright as a Carhartt-wearing good old boy. Lee wears baggy jeans with a series of graphic t-shirts and a grey hoodie, and a red coat with a check pattern from the American workwear brand Dickies. Carter Smith is the English teacher. He's in his mid-30s but still has a boyish look, tall and slim with curly dark brown hair and a clean-shaven face with sculpted cheekbones. Mr. Smith first appears in a light blue button-up shirt and sage green chinos and wears variations on this throughout. He's engaging and vivacious as a teacher, moving and thinking quickly, able to drop into different modes with the students. Bailey Gallagher, the school counsellor, sometimes referred to by the students as Miss G, is just a few years older than the students at 24. Miss G's a white woman with long straight auburn hair, always polished and styled, always displaying a kindly smile. An underlying tension sometimes appears as she wrings her hands. She's tall and curvy, wearing calf-length floral print dresses and cropped cardigans in various colours, with white trainers. Shelby joins later in the play. She's 16 and slightly built, with long straight auburn hair parted in the centre that she sometimes wears loose and sometimes in a single braid down her back, or in two pigtails. Shelby first appears in a blue t-shirt and long-sleeved jacket over brown trousers, and later a burgundy hoodie. At times her style appears more alternative than the others, such as an asymmetric blue top with long sleeves that fall over her hands. The story unfolds almost entirely in a single classroom, room 202 of Helen County High. It's old-fashioned, cluttered and friendly. Directly ahead of us, at the back, is the blackboard and teacher's desk. To the left is a wall with two glazed doors onto the corridor. There's a bookcase about a metre high against the wall, with frosted windows onto the corridor above it. The right-hand wall is also glazed, with small panels of frosted glass in windows that start at about waist height. The paintwork on the wood is dark green, and strip lights hang high above. The back wall is painted a chalky pink. The wide blackboard has four sections with central panels that can slide to the sides to reveal another board behind. High above the board, to the left and right, there are brown 1960s-style speakers for the school tannoy system. On the back wall to the left, a small US flag flies above a pennant flag for the state of Georgia. Colourful posters are mounted above the board and around it. One is headed Reading Strategies, while others have motivational messages such as Mindset Matters. In front of the board is Mr. Smith's wide desk, with a large leather chair behind it facing us. There's a set of filing trays on the desk, along with pots of pens and pencils. To the left of the blackboard, there's a small supply cupboard where Mr. Smith hangs up his jacket, the door used to display keywords on rectangles of fluorescent coloured card. Above is another homemade display with six pictures of inspirational figures. To the right of Mr. Smith's desk is a pair of mismatched filing cabinets with a pot plant and lamp on top. The students' desks and chairs are typical of American classrooms, with tubular steel frames and wooden seats and desks with shallow storage areas under a lid that can be lifted up. They're placed back to back in pairs, the students sitting side onto us. The legs of the desks are fitted into old tennis balls so that they don't screech when moved. Close to us on the right is a small quiet area with a green two-seater sofa and pink upholstered stool. There are two cushions on the sofa as well as a stuffed toy dog. Nearby on the windowsill there's another small lamp with a shade and a spider plant, adding to the cosy feel. The classroom is full of realistic detail. However, there are moments when the drama drops out of the everyday to spotlight an individual. Between scenes as music plays, a cold white light sometimes catches one of the students on their own, frozen in a moment of naked emotion. The student caught in the spotlight seems to be alone with the truth of their feelings, even though others remain present. Day-glow letters above the blackboard spelling out the words light bulb moments glow and the chalked words on the blackboard strobe. We also briefly visit a rural gas station. Panels slide in to frame the stage. Red-painted wooden strips to the left and right read, Gas open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Running right across the top is a corrugated metal and wood sign painted in three wide stripes of red, white and blue and stenciled with the words, Coke, snacks, groceries and gas. Characters at the gas station sit on the floor out front, the classroom still present in the shadows behind. But when we first come into the theatre, the stage is hidden by a green curtain, with the title of the play projected onto it in huge uppercase letters. Cast and production credits. Shelby is played by Sadie Soverall. Beth is played by Holly Howden Gilchrist. Nell is played by Lauren Adjufo. Raylan is played by Mia James. Ivy is played by Claire Hughes. Mason is played by Reese Braddock. Lee is played by Charlie Borg. Mr. Smith is played by Donal Finn. And Bailey Gallagher is played by Molly McFadden. The design is by AMP featuring Teresa Williams. The costume designer is Sarah Lau. Lighting design is by Natasha Katz. Original composition and sound design is by Palmer Heffernan. Projection design is by Hannah Vasileski. The movement director is Tilly Evans Kruger. The intimacy coordinator is Catherine Hardman for EK Intimacy. The dialect coach is Gigi Buffington. John Proctor is the Villain is written by Kimberly Bellflower and directed by Dania Taymor. This is the end of the introduction to John Proctor as the Villain at the Royal Court Theatre. If you have any questions or need further information, please contact the box office on 020 7565 5000.